Welcome back. The Verified Athletics Playmakers Edge is officially released. Our friend Issa Abdul-Qaddous is sharing quick hits and knowledge that helped him to be a six-year NFL player. You can find it on our website at verifiedathletics.com, and it's also on YouTube. It's only a couple minutes long, so check it out if you haven't already. Our audience just keeps on growing, so thanks for sharing and keep doing it. This week's guest is Omar Porter. Omar is what I would call a recruiting guy in the Charlotte, Shelby area. And he's also the host of the Recruiting Knowledge with Omar Porter podcast. Omar is a good dude. He's got a great perspective to share, and I had fun getting to know him. Enjoy. All right, we got Omar here. How's it going, Omar?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. It's good to have you on. I know we've been connecting back and forth a little bit, and you know, I'm really interested in hearing your story and your perspective and getting that out to our, you know, our listeners, our, you know, all the student athletes and that can learn from your perspective. So why don't you tell me, like, you know, I still like really need to learn a lot about you. How, I know you're coaching high school football. I know you're working with athletes, but how would you describe like what it is that you're doing?
I coach at Crest High School in Shelby, North Carolina. Any players come out of there, Brandon Spikes played for the Patriots and Florida Gators, Jonathan Bullard for the Gators, Justin Foster plays for Clemson, just won a national championship. So coach at Crest High School. For years, I've kind of worked in our community doing different things. I've been a community outreach coordinator, a behavior tech in the county. So over the years, I've just built relationships with kids from elementary school all the way to high school. But with the sports aspect of it, of course, I coach ball, but I've also always kind of helped assist parents and kids with the process. It started probably in 2005 when I was working at Shelby High School. I was single at the time, and, you know, a kid was like, "Hey, Mr. Porter, I need a ride to a school." And so that's kind of how everything started. Like, I took some kids to visit a school one weekend, and then that just kept happening over and over. Then when I was going back to some of the schools, the coach was like, "Well, wait a minute, didn't I just see you bring another kid another time?" So that's how it kind of built up from there. It's just like, you know, going out. So learning the process through all of the coaches and the players. So that's kind of just what I do, man. Coach ball and try to help the guys.
So you're talking to high school athletes, not just at the school that you coach at, right? All over the community?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All throughout my county. I've had people reach out to me outside of North Carolina now. You know, I do a podcast as well, but just in that, even just becoming through Twitter, I guess people will see me put people's stuff out and they will reach out to me. And so it's kind of been building from there. So even outside of my high school, I do help students.
Yeah. So, tell me a little bit about that. How do you end up finding the athletes that you're working with?
Well, the thing is, like, I don't set out to find anybody. You know what I'm saying? I think that's the difference. Like, I definitely start with kids at my school first. And then, you know, parents will say, "Hey, Omar, we know you kind of do this. Can you help us?" And I reach out to their coaches as well, because I never want to step on any other coach's toes. You know, like, "Oh, I can do this and he can't." No, it's none of that. You know, I just try to, I may have some connections that they don't have. So when I do have other parents reach out to me and stuff like that, a lot of times it is through Twitter. They, "Hey, I've heard about, you know, what you do, and can you help us?" So that's kind of how it goes. So through Twitter and just social media a lot of the time, and then word of mouth.
Yeah. And then you're based out of like the Charlotte area, right? North Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah. Shelby, North Carolina, but right there, that Charlotte area, 45 minutes west of Charlotte.
Great. Yeah. I've never recruited that area, so we don't have a relationship through the recruiting pipeline. Only really through, you know, recent times. You kind of like remind me so much of so many guys that I knew in all the towns that I recruited. There's like the Chicago version of you. There's the Detroit version of you. And, I try to like figure out how to explain it. I feel like when I talk about it, I usually like would use the word like a recruiting guy, and I don't know, like, there's probably a better word for it, but, it's just, I find it's like the person that knows who all the athletes are, in an area, and knows a lot about them, and can be a great source of like gathering names in the first part for a college coach, but then also is like a good triangulation. Like, you know, you talk to an athlete, you get one perspective on what they're like, you talk to their family, you talk to their coach, but then there's this other guy that you trust, that you've had this relationship with for a while, that has his own opinion. And I think all of that stuff is really helpful in the eyes of a college coach. So, you know, I'm sure, like, you know, the athletes that that you know and you're connecting with college programs, I'm sure you're helping them a lot.
Mm-hmm. Man, and it's like what you said. A lot of times schools will call me and be like, hey man, Omar, who do y'all have in the area? You know, and I'll if I don't know somebody at the school is about to come out, I'll reach out to that coach like, hey, such and such school is, you know, ask me who's in the area, and then they'll give me their names and stuff like that, and I'll put it out to the coaches. And dig a little deep if I need to, too.
And is anything that you're doing, like, I imagine college coaches aren't paying you anything. Are, like, these athletes, are these athletes paying you anything?
Nope, not at all.
So this is really just, like, would you describe it as a hobby, or how would you describe it?
I always see it as, like, it's like ministry, you know what I'm saying, to me. Because it's always, it's always a thin line with me, because people always were like, well, man, you know, you can get paid for this, you can do this. And I do know, because I talk to college coaches as well, it's a thin line when you start trying to pay for recruiting stuff. You know what I'm saying? Because some of the stuff I'm doing, I mean, a good coach just does it. Not saying, you may have somebody on staff that can do that stuff, you know. And for our school at Crest, you know, I do that. You know what I'm saying? And our other coaches do as well. But yeah, but I don't get paid anything. Like I said, I see it as ministry, man. When I see, you know, these guys working hard in the classroom, on the field, and then, you know, they put this stuff out there, they get an offer, or they end up going to school. Like, that's just like one of the best feelings in the world, you know, from the kid that's a D1 athlete to a kid that just, you know, has the grades, but he's going to a Division III school. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're like college football big brother program or something like that.
Yeah. I like that. I'm gonna have to use that right there.
No, you know, it's totally true. Yeah, in most cases, like when I see these situations, that is typically how it is. It's like it is just like a community give back, you know, and mm-hmm. it's rewarding, you know, it's rewarding and it's fun. I imagine, you know, being in your position, you know, I find myself motivated probably by many of the same things that you're getting motivated by. You know, the only difference is the scale. You're in like a local area and you're really reaching like a direct personal connection, where what I'm doing is trying to give that guidance, give that help, that assistance of connecting high school athletes with college coaches on a more national scale, you know, but it's the same motivation, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, most definitely. Most definitely.
And then are you also training athletes? Is that a part of what some of the stuff that you're doing?
Yes, we have a place here in Shelby. It's called the Love Center, where we do off-season training, and then one of our trainers, Michael Allison, the founder, he does individual training too. So what we do is, like, starting in January all the way up until June, we do 3 days a week training with athletes. We've had, like, Landon Zanders that just went to Clemson. He trained there. Justin Foster trained with the guy. Dax Hollifield is at Virginia Tech. He trains with Mike as well. So, you know, we're just getting back to the fundamentals of it. You know what I mean? And like a lot of the high schools in the area and all the schools, really, they kind of support it, because, you know, we're just trying to get those guys ready for when spring ball comes in. We shut it down so we won't conflict with anything that they're doing. But it's not even just training. We try to mentor them. We take them on college visits. And I mean, and all the guys that train in there are former college athletes. So stuff that we, you know, us as athletes in high school and stuff, a lot of stuff we didn't learn until we got to college, you know. But now we're bringing that stuff back to these guys where they're learning in, you know, elementary school, middle school, high school. So,
yeah. And are you only working? I mean, like, I want to make sure that I think I understand what you guys are doing. So I want to make sure it's clear to a lot of people. But you're not just training guys that are going to play at Clemson.
Tell me,
like, what is like a typical session look like? Like, who's going to those things?
We got two sessions. We have a session from 6 to 7 where you have your elementary school, you know, middle school kids. They come and train. Then the 7 to 8:30 session is the kids that are all your rising ninth graders and up. So they'll come in, you know, we stretch them out and, you know, do different speed and agility stuff. Then we break up into our individual groups, like you D-line, linebackers, you know, stuff like that. So. And you have, I mean, all kinds of groups, all kinds of kids working together. And one thing we always tell them, like, everybody's not going to be a Division I athlete. No, not at all. And everybody's not going to be a professional sport, you know, ball player, but you're going to be a professional something. You're gonna be a professional. You're gonna be a doctor. You're gonna be a lawyer. You may work at this company or this plant, but you can run it if you want to. So, just that structure and that discipline that you're learning from football and through, you know, through this way of, or that we're doing it, is gonna help you. So, yeah, it's not just the, you know, you and you can see some of the guys, but it's not just the top guys. It's just, and they're all working together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's great. And like, you know, whether they play college football or professional football, they're all playing high school football, and it, you know, this is right. helping them get better for their next season, which will make it more fun, and you know, they'll be able to help their team. So there's like really no loss there.
Exactly. None at all. You know, so like I said, it's a great thing. A lot of people in the community are behind it. We're in Shelby, but we have people coming from Charlotte, Gaffney, South Carolina, Hickory, Morganton. So like a lot of your surrounding areas, I mean, they make a little drive, 45-minute drive, you know, to an hour sometime. They bring their kids in and they, you know, they support it, you know, and we do good with the kids. Like I said, it's not just sports, but that's the way we're using to get to them. I mean, I had a teacher from my elementary school hit me up and say, hey, and they're not even in our county. Hey, I know this kid comes train with you guys. He had a bad week last week. So can you guys talk to him? So then this kid's training with us. So guess what? Hey, man, we need to talk, you know, and it means something different coming that way as well.
Yeah, I think sports are always like a great way to break through, especially to young boys. You know, they're so energized and so into the sports that they play that it could be a good way to reach them at a level to help them learn skills that will help them far beyond the football field. I always felt that as a coach.
Right, no doubt, no doubt. I agree.
Well, that's great. And so you know about all these guys in the area, and you know, you described it like you're driving them to colleges to help them to visit. You're probably helping them to work their way through the recruiting process. What is that like? What does the typical span of that relationship look like?
The one thing, a lot of kids that I do come in contact with and their parents, like the relationship really never stops. You know, like even when they get to school, like even at the facilities where we train at, a lot of the kids that I, you know, and not just me, but the collective people that we have helped, they always come back and talk to the next group of guys. And, you know, from big, like I said, from Division 1, Division 2, Division 3, like whatever it may be. Like we just had a guy in, played a Division 3 ball at Greensboro College, about to graduate. You know, one of my guys, he came in and talked to the guys and gave them like that real life perspective from the D3 standpoint, you know. So that relationship, it continues to go, you know, go on and on. And the thing is just like grooming those parents up. Like a lot of times I may go on the first trip and stuff like that, just kind of try to help them, because a lot of them, they have no clue whatsoever what's going on, you know. And so I'll go with them just to kind of, you know, help them, show them what to look for, you know, just, you know, what they see, you know. And then after that, you know, I just may set a visit up for them, and they kind of know what they're doing, but they just don't want to go down there like not knowing anything, you know.
Yeah, what do the college coaches think when you're on the visit with everyone? What's their reaction to that?
I mean, it's always good, because the one thing that helps me though is I'm a coach, not just like some random person, you know. Like in our area, they know Crest High School, so I coach at Crest, and it's like, and they know like, hey man, Omar's gonna tell us about any kid in the area, so it's always good, and I build a relationship with those guys, you know. And sometimes the relationships go beyond just talking to the kids, like, hey, Omar, how you doing? You know, just, you know, chatting outside. I may go up there and hang out, you know, different stuff like that. So it's always good. But like I said, it helps me because I'm a coach for a high school, and not just, they don't see me as a handler or anything like that.
Yeah, I think that's like a big misconception of like these recruiting guys, is that that they're these handlers. I think that might be like a basketball thing, and I think that's where that comes from. Like honestly, like I really don't see that in football. I never have. I'm sure it exists somewhere at some level, but for the most part, it's guys that like are in your position where they're just like genuine good people that want to help the athletes, and the college coaches, in my experience, like mostly appreciate it because you help us find the guys, you help the athletes like make great decisions on where to go to school, and you direct them. I'm sure like you help point them to the schools that are going to really be the best fit for them in a way that like makes it better for everyone.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing, like it, like you said, it makes the work so much easier for them. You know, like I had a coach say, hey, Omar, man, I got this area now, that he was at one school and left and went to another school. Well, now it's like, hey, Omar, I still got this area, man. I need your help. You know, it's like, hey, I mean, that's our relationship. Like it ain't, you know, I ain't looking for nothing. They ain't looking for nothing, you know, but sometimes people can kind of just look at that stuff a little different. So
Yeah, and when the athletes are like finally making their decision, let's say they're choosing between a couple schools at the end, I imagine you're pretty close to them and you know more about this situation than they do or their parents do. Like, how close are you in like the actual decision-making process of where they're going to go to school?
Me personally, I try to, if they ask me my opinion, I'll kind of tell sometime, but I never, and I mean never, tell a kid where to go, because I never want them to be like, well, Coach Porter told me to do this, and then they're miserable.
Yeah.
You would never, you would never get that on me. So, you know, and I'll give them my advice. I mean, they'll ask my advice, and I'll, you know, may tell them kind of what I see, you know, but at the end of the day, it's their decision. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't try to influence it one way or another.
And what is your advice? What do you usually tell guys?
I mean, you know, just go. Sometimes you gotta tell people don't get caught up in just the name of places. You know, go where you're, where you're. Well, some people say wanted, but where you're needed also. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and the thing is too, like, you know, make sure you enjoy the school, the teammates. You know, coaches may come and go. You know, but make sure you really like the team, the players, the school, the location. You know, all of that stuff. Is it too far for you? Do you, you know, do you? Oh, I want to just go to this school. And then you jump out there and you're so far from home and you end up quitting and coming back, you know, just all those different things, man.
Yeah, I feel like one of the major reasons why athletes choose the schools they choose is because of the recruiting coach that's recruiting them. That is like almost
Yeah.
always it. 'Cause like when you look at it though, I can understand it when you see it from their perspective. They're about to go to a brand new place
Right.
and they don't know anyone there except for one person. At all these schools, they know one person and it's the coach that's
Right.
recruiting them. And
Right.
so like, yeah, go to the place. If you're gonna only know one person, go to the place where you like the one person. But
Right.
the truth is like it's a terrible way to make a decision because that person is almost certainly not going to be there in 4 years, you know, let alone one or
Exactly.
two.
Yep. That's
So
right.
yeah, so that always ends up being a tough part of it. And like that was always, you know, my perspective as the recruiting coach was both like one, like trying to take advantage of that mentality and making sure that I wanted every athlete that I was recruiting to like me more than they liked any of the other guys that they were recruiting them.
Wow.
You know, especially as being a young coach, I think it's easier to do that. You know, as you get older, I think that that probably gets a little bit harder. You have to figure out, you know, a new strategy. But I always wanted to do that. And then I felt like then I could see if I really thought the school was going to be a good fit for them. You know, fortunately, you know, for most of my career, I coached at places where I thought that athletes were going to get a ton out of the experience because I was working for great head coaches. And we were at good academic schools in like cool places, and we had great teams. So like I really did believe. I imagine that it becomes harder to bring guys to a school that you really don't believe in, which
Right.
I'm sure college coaches have
Right.
to do all the time.
Right. I mean, and even in saying that, like, I remember one coach where there was recruiting one of our guys, and you know, he was, you know, selling at school, and then the next week he was somewhere else and he had to come back and sell that school. So, you know, the kid was like, well, wait a minute, you know.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah, well that is the
the
reality. That
business.
what do you think of when these college coaches are like hopping from school to school all the time? How does like from your perspective, what is that? How do you view that?
I mean, at the end of the day, it's a business, you know. And it's sometimes you can be like, oh, okay, wait a minute, you were just there, you know. So, I like the thing is, I just know at the end of the day, it's a business. I never know why these people leave. I mean, they may have been let go, or thing is, man, they got to provide for their families just like everybody else, man. But at the same time, you do want to see people be consistent and kind of be where they are when they tell the kids coming. But like I said, it's and that's the adults, you know, the kids are like, man, I thought he's gonna be there, but at the same time, it's a business, man.
Yeah, it's like a fire that burns from both ends because
Right.
coaches that don't do well, they can't stay if they want to. And coaches that
Right.
do well, you know, get such good opportunities to, you know, make more money and live in better places and make good decisions for their family where, you know, there's really very few people that stay right in the middle of being too good or not good enough for too long. So
Right.
it's just like,
Right.
you know, I wonder though, like, I think for most coaches, like, I think they would like to stay at places longer.
Yeah, I think they would too. I think they would too. And like you said, just when you, but when you're a good coach and, you know, the bigger boys come to pulling or a better opportunity come, then, you know, it's about advancement, you know?
Well, yeah, and the finances are so different for coaches at different levels. It's, you know, at some of the lower levels, like maintaining like a family is really not that realistic. You know, it's only for young guys, you know, in a lot of ways. Now people get married, they make it work, you know, especially if you become a head coach or something like that. But, you know, it's just not sustainable. And then, so like the races,
it's crazy that you say that, because I mean, I'm just thinking about that right now. I've never thought about it like that, but when I'm thinking about like some of your lower level guys, a lot of time are single guys that can kind of, wow, I've never thought about it. That's a good perspective. I've never thought about it like that.
Yeah, honestly, I think a lot of times it's a race. It's a race. You start off as a young guy coaching at, like, say, a D3 school. You know, not all guys start off this way, but let's say you start off that way. And it's a race. Are you going to find a wife and kids first, or are you going to find, like, a good-paying job first? Because you can't have both. You know, I mean, you can't have the job that you have and the wife and kids. So like, you either stay in coaching and because you make it to a level where you can make enough money to support a family first, or you get out of coaching because you can't, right? So, but you know, if you make it, like if you become a head coach at a Division III school, I think it's definitely possible. Sometimes like the next, it's like the second coach on the staff sometimes can do that as well. But, you know, I remember like even coaching at Fordham University, which is a Division I school.
Yeah.
You know, the salaries were okay, but you're living in New York where those salaries don't go very far. And like, you know, if you want to live in a place where you can send your kids to a good public school, you had to be like living really far away to both be able to afford it and have the schools be good. And so it just like became, and you're working 100 hours a week because you're a college coach. So it's just became really difficult to stay there. And I think a lot of coaches with families never stuck around, you know, they never tried, you know, they were never able to make it work.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
But, you know, the other thing I wanted to ask you too is, you know, you're so close to these athletes in the recruiting process and the families, and you said that they don't know anything about recruiting, but I feel like a lot of times they don't know anything about recruiting, but they think that they do.
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh, what? Yeah.
So I was wondering if, like, first of all, like, what do you think are the common pitfalls, and if you have any other good stories that might, you know, highlight that, I'd be interested to hear them.
Oh man, everybody is D1, man. I know you know it, you know, as a coach, it just been everybody is D1. And I mean, some stories, man, I've had parents and players think their son was so, you know, D1 that they missed out on opportunities. And that's the stuff that I really hate, where, you know, kid might have had some D2 offers, even some FCS, you know, stuff, but they just thought they was, you know, FBS and, oh, they should be going to Carolina, Clemson, Oregon, you know, places like that. And, you know, and now this is one of the things too. What I do is if a kid reaches out to me, I'll send film to like four different coaches that I know. And I mean, all levels. It'll be, you know, FBS, FCS, Division II, Division III. You know, I'll just send it out to those coaches, to those four or five different coaches. And they're all, and pretty much all of the time, they give me the same opinion of the kid. Like, hey, Omar, I see this guy playing at this level. And so what happens is, let's say I send it and the kid, you know, everybody's saying he's a D2 guy, Omar, could develop to maybe, you know, an FCS guy, could. But right now I see him as a Division II guy. And that's like, I told that to a parent, and man, it was like they got mad at me, you know. And they want the honest opinion because they start off really humble and, oh my gosh, he just wants an opportunity. And, you know, but then when you kind of tell them like, hey, this is what they're saying right now, you know, he can develop to be a better player, you know, but this is what got, well, he just doesn't feel that way. So, okay. I'm like, all right, then what you need my opinion for then, you know, if you're going to go with your own, you know? So that's something that I see a lot, man. When, like I said, I always use coaches to evaluate the film. And I mean, I got an eye for it too, but I send it to those guys so they can tell me as well. And sometimes if it's like I say, FBS or bust sometime, you know, and parents don't want to hear it, man. And they may get upset and then, you know, may just not even pursue going to camps and stuff that they should, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's like, you know, the push, you know, they need to go to these D2 camps or FCS camps in order to actually get the offers at the level that's most appropriate for them. But instead they waste their time and money. Right.
I see that so much, man. I mean, and I really put it on my Twitter, my social media, like, hey, man, choose your camps wisely. You know, even if it's a kid that's borderline FBS, FCS, I sometimes I still, if they can, and if they still, and if they don't have an offer, I still may tell them, hey, man, go to a local D2. You know what I'm saying? Just to, because you never know what's going to happen, you know, and you know just as well as I do, like recruiting, you never know what's going to happen. Like that stuff changes from day to day and school to school.
Yeah, I mean, you go from being 10th on the board one weekend to up for a scholarship the next weekend. So that happens all the time, especially at the end, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's totally true. And, you know, a lot of times the advice I give guys, I'm curious how this matches up with what you do around the camps, is I say, go to like the one big FBS school around you.
Go to one.
Because it gives you the opportunity, you know, because in the back of everyone's mind, even if you kind of know you're a Division III player, in the back of your mind, you're still thinking maybe. And so it gives you that chance. And you get in front of, you know, a bunch of other coaches and you never know what might happen out of that. But like really, don't spend your money going to 10 of those because like you're just wasting your time now. Go to...
Same way. What you just said is exactly what I do too. I'm like, hey, man, pick you out one of the big ones around here. You know, in our area, you know, you got just like right around the way. You got Clemson, you got Wake, you got Carolina, you got State, you know, you got Duke, you know, you got, you know, a lot of those guys want to go to those schools. And I say, hey, pick you one of those. But then, you know, go to A&T or go to Lenoir Ryan and, you know, go to different Garden Webb, you know, different places like that too. So
do they listen?
The ones that I'm like, that I've been with for a while, most of them do. But then you have some that's just, I'll say most of the time they do, but you have a few that's like, oh, whatever, and they spend all their money. And then what happens is after it's said and done, then it's like, hey, coach, can you get in contact with Wingate for me? Or can you get in contact with Garner Webb? You know, and it's like, well, wait a minute, man, they want you to come to camp and you wouldn't show them no love, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's that is such a challenge. You know, especially as like an FCS or a Division II coach, you know, you're trying to tell the athlete, like, stop it. Like, don't do that. Like, come to us where you like, this is a good idea for you. But from that perspective, it's even harder to get through to the athlete because they just think like, you know, you're in it for yourself and not for the athlete. But like, it really is the good advice. I mean, until you get the offers, like you don't have anything.
Right. That's what people don't understand. It's like that's what I don't get, man. When people telling me or you as a coach or just whoever that you don't have any offers right now, but you act like you just know exactly where you're going. I'm like, man, you don't even got anything yet. Like you should be fighting and grinding and crawling and digging to get what you can right now.
Plus like the Clemson's going to be more interested in you and like take you more seriously when you have the Duke offer, and the Duke's going to take you more seriously when you have the Gardner Webb offer, and Gardner Webb's going to take you more seriously when you have the Division II offer, you know, like it's like you're padding your resume in some ways, you know, and maybe, and it both serves to pad your resume and also gets you the offers that you need to be able to go to college and play football and get the things that you want.
And the thing with like, it's because a lot of times, like I said, and you know, cause I know you've done it. A lot of times the guy I'll see in film and they like the film. Like, hey man, Omar, what does he have going on recruiting wise? That's the next question. What does he have going on recruiting wise? It was a kid that we had out here that, a FCS school wanted to offer, but he hadn't had any FCS offers. FBS offers. And he was like, Omar, man, I can't justify offering him right now. And that was one of the things, like, I can't justify it.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate part, especially when you're an athlete sitting there with no offers, that offers get you more offers, you know, for a couple of reasons. One is it's less risky as a coach. For a couple reasons. The main one is really when you're someone's only offer, they could, you know, like they could take it now and you definitely have to honor it. Like you have to take it, you know, like you can't slow play, you know, you can't like wait and see how it goes. Like, but if someone's got 10 offers, you can offer them and see how things play out over the next, you know, maybe like they're like fifth or sixth on your list. You could see kind of what happens because you know, you got some time. But the other guy that's fifth or sixth on your list and they don't have any offers, you offer them and like now you get that guy. And now the guys that were ahead of them, you kind of have to tell them that you're full. And so so it's risky. And then it's challenging sometimes to get a player offered Because usually when you're recruiting the athlete, even if you think that they're good enough, it's not usually your call. It's usually the position coach or the coordinator or the head coach's call. And when you sit down, you say, watch this film. When you can also say, watch this film. He has offers from blank, blank, blank. Then like it's easier to get the push for the offer in that case. Right. So
that's true. And I went up to, I learned a lot of that. I went up to Duke about 2 or 3 years ago. We had a kid up there, and Coach Cutcliffe brought me and him, and once when Scotty Montgomery was still the offensive coordinator. And I went in, you know, up there for the weekend and just learned a lot about, like, a lot of the inside stuff that, you already knew, you know, but a lot of the inside stuff, man, of just having that recruiting board and, it might be 10 offers at that spot or whatever, you know, or, you know what I'm saying, a few offers at that spot, but it's certain guys that you're looking, you know, you're looking at and going down that list. So that's when I really started learning about it being, like, about slots and spots, you know. Hey, man, these spots going to go. If these two guys right here go, then you might not have a spot, you know, so you need to, you know what you're doing and looking at, you know, what you're looking at and make those decisions. So,
yeah, and a lot of times guys that are getting recruited but don't have offers, you know, they don't realize that they're on that board, but they're, you know, they're a ways down there and they're like a backup option, you know, big time. Right. Because every year, no matter what school you're coaching at, one of your boards is going to start to fall apart. Like one of your positions, you had to sign two defensive ends. And before you, like a couple weeks go by and all of a sudden your top 10 guys are all gone. And now, you know, if you weren't recruiting 11 through 20, then you're really out of luck. And so these guys that are 11 through 20, you know, they think they're getting recruited because they're really close to an offer when it's really only in like the really rare scenario that they end up getting an offer. And I think that that also prevents those athletes from thinking, oh, I also need to be looking at these schools that are really recruiting me and offering me this level below, because in their mind, they're like, oh, well, tomorrow the Clemson's going to offer me because they've been recruiting me. But, you know, as far as like these athletes that have these attitudes of D1 or bust, is there a way to break through to them and help them, or is it a lost cause?
It's sometimes I feel like it is a lost cause. What happens is that's when you have, I mean, like what I've done is like bring other guys around, like, I mean, guys that were great athletes that these guys may have even looked up to, and they didn't even land at those spots, you know? So those guys will come in and, you know, talk to them and just, you know, tell them the reality of it sometimes, like, man, you never know, you know, what these people want. You know, we got a guy, not just put that, but Jalen Moore, Appalachian State, you know, he great tailback. When he played for us, he was all-state as a kick returner, but amazing back. He went everywhere. I mean, we went to all the major schools and none of them offered him. Ended up getting an offer from, I think it was late, Gardner Webb, Southern University, and App ended up offering him like late. And he went to App and the rest is history there. But he was a guy that, these guys have watched play, and he was an amazing player. And he didn't get those looks from the schools that they talking about that they're going to, you know? So sometimes after you see those stories and then those guys come back and tell those guys that, it becomes a reality to some of them. What I don't like sometimes with them is when the kid gets his first offer, regardless what level it is, they're so humble and, oh my gosh, I can play college ball. I'm so excited. And their parents excited. And then you lose that hunger or that humbleness. Well, I don't want to go there because, well, wait a minute. You just didn't have any offers the other day. And now you might have two, maybe three now. I mean, it's like in those schools, it's too small for you now, you know? So that kind of gets you sometimes when you see people lose that humility, you know? And of course, offers going to come in. And if big ones come in and any, you know, I don't know, you know, a lot of coaches, they'll be like, hey, man, say if I'm at a D1AA school, FCS school, and the FBS school offer you. A lot of times they'll say, hey, man, I understand. You know, I understand that's what you're going to do. But sometimes those guys, I just see it, man, where they just lose it. Like, well, yeah, coach, I don't think I want to do that. And then I've seen it where they don't end up anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that it is so hard to reach those guys. But I think that's a good strategy is to bring around the guys that they look up to. Because that can definitely be a reality check. I think, you know, I tell athletes sometimes to gauge the level of, you know, where they think they could get recruited at is, you know, look back at your own high school career and say, this is when I started playing varsity. This is when I started being a starter on varsity. This is when I was one of the best players on the team. And then look, think about like guys that are a year or two older than you that had similar paths at your same school and see where they're at, you know, and that could be like a pretty, you know, if you started on your varsity team starting your sophomore year, but most of the guys that are starting in their sophomore year are playing D2 football or something like that, then, you know, like, I know you're the best player on the team, but like, look at it, you know, it seems like D2 might be, you know, a good gauge on where you might be headed. But, you know, through all of that, you know, the athletes, I think, are focused way too much on level and not enough on the right fit.
Exactly. The right fit in education. Like they forget all about that part.
Totally. Well, I know you got to run, so I definitely appreciate your time, and I hope you can just keep on doing what you're doing. I think, you know, you and guys like you are service to these athletes and their families, and honestly to college coaches. So, you know, from my perspective, I appreciate guys like you, and so just keep doing it.
Hey man, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on, and definitely got to get you on my podcast as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, before I let you go, why don't you tell my audience how they can find you on social media and your podcast?
On social media, Instagram, Twitter, is Omar Porter. My podcast is available on iTunes and Google Play. It's Recruit Knowledge with Omar Porter. So you guys, you know, go to your places and subscribe to it. And I also have a YouTube channel, Recruit Knowledge with Omar Porter, where I pull in some of the interviews that I do from the podcast. I'll record the videos and put them up on YouTube. So that's where you can reach me, man.
Awesome. Keep doing it. Thanks a lot, Omar.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Guys like Omar, they're such a valuable resource for athletes and college coaches. The athletes and parents that he works with are lucky to know him. Go check out his podcast, Recruiting Knowledge with Omar Porter. If you're enjoying the podcast, our articles on the Recruiting Academy, like the last one on how to still play college football with bad grades, or the new Playmaker's Edge, please share them. The word is spreading, and your help in that is making it possible for me to keep doing all this. Thanks a lot. See you next time.